Hey there, it's Nick. Before I start the show, I wanted to ask you for a favor. I'm putting together another dreams episode, but in order to make that happen, I need your dreams. Right now, I'm especially interested in dreams that involve sleep paralysis, false awakenings, or lucid dreams. But really, you can share any dream that you want. You can record it on our website, secretshotline.org. Thanks.
When I'm walking outside and there's ambient music playing that's like really nasty, like some really bad rap or angry goth metal, I just have to avoid walking in step to it because I don't want anyone to see me like grooving to this kind of music. And then I end up just walking like a total weirdo. That's all. Bye.
Hey, you guys. Does anybody remember that lady from early on in the podcast that, I think she said she, like, gouged a guy's eyes out because he tried to attack her while she was sleeping under a bridge? Anyway, I really miss stories like that, but maybe it was a little hardcore. Anyway, I just thought of a secret that I want to tell. Oh, my God. When I was, like, 12, my mom was a home care nurse when I was a kid, and she would, like, take me and my siblings with her to see her patients. Sort of weird in hindsight. One of her patients was a quadriplegic woman, you know, like paralyzed from the neck down. But this woman had a son who was, I don't know, maybe like 7 or 8. I don't know. I was only 12, so I can't remember, but he was younger than me. And my mom recruited me to babysit this kid one time. I don't know where the quadriplegic mom went. Maybe she was there. I don't know what went on exactly in my childhood, but I just remember today, while listening to today's episode of The Secret Hotline, that my mom lined me up this babysitting gig with this kid. I was pretty into babysitting. I had taken like a Red Cross babysitting class, so I carried like a little bag of babysitting shit with me, you know, like coloring books and one of those weird like echo microphones from the 90s that are just plastic, but you like put your mouth up to it, you know what I mean? Anyway, I thought I was a pretty cool babysitter. Well, this kid was like different. He wanted to like hide a lot. And then every time I found him, he would be jerking off. And I was too young to really like know what the fuck. And so I don't know what I thought. Okay. I don't even know. I don't know what you're supposed to think. I don't know what I did. I think I probably told him like, maybe don't do that. I'm not even sure what I did or my response, but I do remember this. And this is the part that I'm like, why? Why do I remember this? Why did I do this? Why can I not forget that I did this? Am I a total fucking freak? When his quadriplegic mom came home, and either her or some other person drove me, I mean, I know she didn't have arms and legs that worked, but she had this giant, like, van, you know, like a handicapped person's van that she maybe she could drive it with flowing, like Christopher Reeve. You guys, anything could happen. I'm not sure. I don't remember who the driver was. I just remember they drove me home and I like masturbated in the seat, the back seat, like the captain's chair seat behind the driver's seat of that handicapped person's van. Because I guess that like I got off on this little kid jerking off. I don't know. I feel like a real freak. I wanted to share it because sometimes I just want to call and tell you guys stuff. But then I'm like, well, those aren't secrets. Nobody wants to just hear about you rambling on about your life. Although sometimes you might, because sometimes you're like, holy shit. God, I hope other people are thinking and doing stuff like this, you know. But this one, I was like, yeah, what a weirdo. You little weirdo. I hope everybody else is as weird as you. I really hope you guys are as weird as me. Maybe I'm not even that weird. That's another thing about life, is like, I'm just now figuring out at almost 40 years old that, like, nobody knows what the hell they're doing. Does anybody know what should have been done? There's no should have been. There's no right way I should have handled that. Is there?
Hey there, it's Nick. I just wanted to take a minute to let you know that this episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. I am very appreciative of everyone who calls into the hotline, and I think most of you who have gotten something out of it. But as much as I hate to admit it, calling some weirdo podcast is definitely not a substitute for a qualified therapist. It's great to say things out loud, but it's even more helpful to have your thoughts reflected back to you by a trained professional. Way before BetterHelp was even a thing, I personally saw a therapist for many, many years, and I consider it an integral part of my self-development. Being able to observe yourself from a distance is an incredibly powerful tool for breaking out of habits, learning positive coping skills, and learning to set boundaries with the people in your life. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, and given the calls we get on the show, I'd say that's pretty likely, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You can learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/secretshotline today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/secretshotline. Thank you, BetterHelp, for supporting the podcast. Okay, back to the show.
I'm a 43-year-old woman. I have CPSD, ADHD, borderline, OCD, severe anxiety with panic attacks, depression, and dissociation. It's a mouthful. Basically, I'm everyone you would not want to date all in one person. Like anyone else, and maybe even more than most, I need human connection, but I don't know how to form bonds, and I'm absolutely repulsive to other human beings. I don't mean physically. Physically, I'm invisible. I have been through therapy and hope to get back into it. When it comes to self-help, I have dotted my T's and crossed my I's, but I'm still a bundle of anxiety. My secret is that I really resent when people say it's easier for women to find a partner than men, because what does that say about me? Absolutely no one has entrusted me. I can join a dating site and get a dehumanizing zero responses. Some of us will never have and never find love, and that's just reality. And it hurts me enormously when people say I will, but those same people have no interest in getting to know me. I actually want to find a needy, desperate person because they're less confusing. Like, it's really confusing for me when people are like healthy and with it or something, that all they can talk about is the weather. I just don't understand, like, regular people.
Why are so many people all over the globe choosing the Secrets Hotline as their hotline? Find out for yourself by calling 1-929-SECRETS. That's 929-732-7387. Answering service also available at secretshotline.org.
Hi there. I have a very incredible group of people that I call my friends and people that I associate with, and they, you know, lean to that extreme left with radical politics, and I wouldn't have it any other way. It's something I value about these people and the people that I align with. But anytime I see ceasefire or free Palestine or any of that rhetoric, I feel just such extreme defeat. I haven't signed any petitions, and I won't sign any petitions because our government has wanted this war so badly for so long, and it feels futile to try to resist it.
I guess my secret is that I'm afraid that I won't be able to be close with my friends anymore, other than a few people. I feel like I'm one of the only voices I've heard speak out against the genocide happening in Palestine, and I just feel like in shock that so many people around me are so silent.
I know that my friends don't know that that's how I feel. It would be largely unpopular to voice this. It's apathy, right? And I just refuse to post incessantly about Gaza and Palestine because, not because I don't care, but because I truly don't believe it's going to make any difference.
I'm calling because I'm Jewish. That's not really a secret. I'm kind of a secular Jew, but I still consider myself a Jew. I guess my secret is that I don't know what to do about Israel. I don't know what the right answer is. I mean, I see what they're doing to the Palestinian people, and it's horrifying, and it's awful, and it's wrong. And also, I see what Hamas has done to Israeli civilians, and it's horrible, and it's wrong. But it doesn't seem like I'm... like, I don't know what the correct answer is. I want Israel to exist. I think, at least I think I do. And I think it would be very bad if Israel didn't exist, but maybe that's wrong. I don't want anyone to be killed anymore. And it feels like if I don't take a side, then I'm just being naive or wishy-washy. I don't even feel comfortable speaking out about it because I don't know what the right answer is. I have no fucking clue.
Hi, Nick. This is partially inspired by the woman who called in about her eating disorder.
I would say 90% of my day I spend now thinking about wishing that I could look like that again.
I feel like for the past 15 years I have struggled on and off with a strange eating disorder of my own. I am so afraid of choking, or my body is so afraid of choking, that when I eat, my body just panics, and it feels like I have forgotten how to swallow food. There are years where I'm completely fine and not a problem, and then there are times, like right now, where it's pretty fucking bad and it's hard to get things down. I don't really know how to talk about this with most people, so I make up excuses about not being hungry or having eaten before I went somewhere, or that my stomach hurts, just to avoid eating in front of other people because it is worse when I feel like someone is watching me. So to that woman and anyone who's struggling with any kind of eating, it's just really hard when there's so many things that center around food, socially, pretty lonely.
Hey, Nick. I was just listening to the most recent podcast episode titled, like, Who Has the Best Pastry? And the secret about the eating disorders came up, and I pulled off the road to call you and say that I feel the exact same way as that woman. I miss being thin, and I too had or have an eating disorder that I don't know if I've ever said aloud that it's an eating disorder, but it's pretty clearly an eating disorder. And at my thinnest, I loved the way I looked. Other people thought I was skeletal. My family was really concerned about me, but man, it was easy to shop. Clothes fit great. I totally understand what that woman means, but I like not being hungry more, and I like better mental health more. But yeah, I miss being thin too. Thanks for everything, Nick.
That's it for the Secrets Hotline for now. If you have a secret you want to share, I want to hear from you. You can call 929-SECRETS, leave a message at secretshotline.org, or record a voice note and email contact@secretshotline.org. If you change your mind for whatever reason, just contact me within 24 hours, and I'll make sure your call doesn't go into the podcast. No stress. And if you can, find a quiet place to record, and don't use a speakerphone or hands-free device. The quality of the call is much better when you don't. This episode featured the music of Alex Hensi, Kishosis, and Zeroshi. Check the show notes for the playlist. Our end theme is by Steven Jackson. The Secrets Hotline is a labor of love and radio and made possible thanks to you. Your support makes this show possible, and I'm deeply grateful for it. Thank you. I'm Nicholas Sardine Punch Punch Vanderkolk. Thank you for listening.